Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Dr. Farzad Mostashari, National Coordinator for Health IT within the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Also joining us from IBM is Gio Patterson.
Farzad, you have noted that physicians' dissatisfaction with electronic health records may rise as the implementation goes beyond the early adopters. To that end, your incentive programs have carrots and sticks. When do the penalties kick in for not adopting electronic records? And how do you anticipate and prepare to handle the challenge of onboarding the next round of providers beyond the early adopters?
The program really is at a point where now we have some 90% of hospitals, 70% of eligible professionals who've engaged with the program. And we really are getting into now the point where it's almost accepted that you're going to do this. And that sense, I think, of inevitability is very important to maintaining progress. My hope is that nobody will decide that they would rather take the penalties rather than move into modernized use of electronic health records. That does happen by the end of this year. In 2013 is being able to, if you meet it in 2013 and then 2014 is kind of the last chance, then in 2015 is when the payment adjustments start. So providers really need to get it moving if they haven't already, and I think most have. But get moving, because it's not just, you know, avoiding the penalty program. It's really, what is the kind of healthcare of the future? And what are the skills that are going to be and the capabilities that are going to be required to be empowered, to be able to manage your own population, manage your own quality measures, understand your quality of care you're providing, and to take steps to meet the needs of the new payment systems that are coming down the road and not fall victim to them. That's the real reason where people should and I think are going to be adopting the technology. It's not to avoid this 1%, 2%, 3%, whatever payment adjustment. It's the broader goal of improving health and healthcare.
Well, I've had the pleasure on the show to have each one of your predecessors on. And it's great to have you today. And one thing I've noticed is that you're really not engaged in simply a technology project. It's more of a social change project. Could you tell us a little bit more about that? And how does partnership and collaboration factor into it all?
It is absolutely a change. I mean, everything that we do, we have to think about how change happens. And, you know, it's the idea behind having a regional extension center program that says, we want to shrink the change here and simplify it for someone who sometimes it seems like resistance where it's just we don't know what to do. And so we simplified the message of call or contact your regional extension center. That's what you got to do. Don't worry about trying to read 600 pages of regs, right? Shrink that change. We want to create a sense of momentum. We want to highlight the bright spots like the Beacon Communities or the Meaningful Use Vanguard to get change. You want to paint a destination postcard. This is what it's going to look like. This is why you want to do the change. You want to recruit the herd, right? You got to say there are other people who are doing this and share and create those communities of practice. You want to make the right thing to do the easy thing to do. So those are all loss aversion, frankly, is another thing that works. So these are all the ways in which we think about the policy and the programs and the standards as being part of a big picture of change and managing change. And the pace of change is just accelerating. And this is a way, being able to manage information and manage projects like this is a way for every healthcare provider and, frankly, patients too, to stay on top of things instead of falling victim to them.
So as you close your tenure as the National Coordinator of Health IT, what does the future look like for you? What do you think it's going to be? What are some of the opportunities and challenges that are going to be faced?
Well, it's a staged process. And I think sometimes in Washington, we forget that things take time and you need patience. But there has been a lot of progress made on step one, which is turn the data in the service of population health. So we've gotten amazing progress on the first milestones, which is getting people to engage with meaningful use, adopt the records. The next step is going to be this year, the challenge of stepping up to stage two of meaningful use. And that means exchange of information with each other and with the patient. That's going to be the big challenge. And I think we're well on our way, but the implementation of that in every hospital, every doctor's office, every community is going to be a huge and defining, I think, challenge for the next 2 to 3 years. And then while we're doing that, we also have to optimize the technology that's already in place. We have to change workflows, not just digitize the existing ones. We have to look for opportunities to streamline and simplify. We have to think about flipping the visit. Not everything has to happen within the 7-8 minutes you spend, the doctor spends with the patient. We have to empower patients to be. So all of those are part of the next series of challenges that the next national coordinator can struggle with.
So as you look at your career, your time in federal service prior to that, your time in local government, what advice would you give someone who's thinking about a career in either medicine or public service or both?
Do it. It's the most rewarding thing I can imagine doing. It really, someone was writing about, you know, making money being the purpose of business. Well, it may be the purpose of business, but it's not the purpose of life. Purpose of life, I think, is to make a difference and to do your part in making things better. One thing I've learned about public service is it works best if you tap into and unlock what people want to do, both within government and outside of government, to help. And we're not lone crusaders, you know. We're really all we can be is vehicles to unlock and unleash through service the work of our colleagues and partners inside and outside of government.
Well, that's a great way to end. First, I want to thank you for joining us today, but more importantly, Gio and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to the country.
Thank you. And this week is National Health IT Week. There are a series of events both within the Department of Health and Human Services and with our partners and others who are really taking this week to mark the important role that managing information better and bringing that data to life can have for the lives of patients everywhere. So I'm glad that this is airing during this week, where we can mark the progress made and also the challenges that remain.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Dr. Farzad Mostashari, National Coordinator for Health IT within the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. My co-host from IBM has been Gio Patterson. Be sure to join us next week for another informative, insightful, and in-depth conversation on improving government effectiveness. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Michael Keegan, and thanks for joining us.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.